Me here this morning. Welcome to a new year in 2010. And I want to explain just a little bit about our format for this morning, because it doesn't mirror our usual format that we have when we gather together here on Sunday mornings. And so if you're new or if you're visiting with us, don't freak out. We're not always around round tables here, and we don't do this every week. But each year, we pause in the course of our programming together, and we take opportunity to reflect on the year that's gone by and to also project in the year that is coming up. And so we take time to celebrate what God has done. We take time to reflect on His goodness to us. And then we also take time to share that with those who have gathered with us here in this place this morning. And so for us, the word that we use is communitas to describe that. And so that is, if you hang around any length of time, you'll hear Pastor Keith accusing me of making up words all of the time. And in my defense, this is not a word that I made up. I strictly borrowed it from the Latin. So, and it reflects on the very essence or spirit of community that is created as a group of people come together and share experiences and stories and an adventure together in what God is doing in their lives. So that's going to be our format for our time together. So let me give you a couple instructions, first of all. The first one is that for the kids will all come on in with us to begin. And we'll start by, so kids, you need to be thinking right away. I'm going to come around and ask you about what you did at Christmas time and what were some of the special memories that you have from this Christmas, okay? So kids, I'm going to come around and ask you that in a few minutes, all right? And then when we get to about 10 minutes to 11 or so, we'll dismiss the kids up to grade 1 from age 3 to grade 1. And those kids will head downstairs into the recreation center, and we have Sunday cinema programming for them this morning. And so they will head down at that point. Nursery is also downstairs this morning. It's a little bit cold on the upper floor this morning. And so that's going to be in the recreation center. And so our nursery is for up to age 2 this morning. And so if you have kids in that age range and you want to take them downstairs at any time through the course of our morning, you can just head out those stairs, downstairs, ask Daryl or any one of our ushering team, and you walk outside the building just around into the recreation center, and the nursery's just down at the end of the hallway in the recreation center there. So that's sort of our format. Adults, I want to seed into your thinking then that we're going to be asking you to share also what it is that God has done in your life and in your experience over the course of this last year of 2009, and share what are the things that you feel God is teaching you coming into 2010, all right? And so this is something that when you're ready, well, just come around, stick your hand up. Pastor Keith or myself will come around with a microphone, and you can take a few minutes and share about what's going on in your life and share it with the rest of us. If it's something that you need us to pray about with you, then we'll take some time and pause and do that. If it's something that we want to celebrate together, then we'll take a few moments and figure out what that looks like. If it's something that you feel like God is teaching you, then you can just feel free to share that in whatever format that looks like. And we'll talk about some formats of some of the journals and things that are on your table in a few minutes. But first, I'm going to come around to the kids. All right? So kids, what are some of your special memories that you have from Christmas, all right, from this last couple of weeks? So stick your hand up if you want to share something, and we'll come around. All right. In the Beyer household, special memories.
We got a foofy.
A foofy? What is a foofy?
It's one side of the blanket. It's a blanket, and one side is soft.
That is cool. Whoa. What else does it have on it?
Sheep's wool.
Sheep's wool. That's what makes it soft? Oh, that's cool. Oh, a foofy. I've never heard of that, guys. This is a new gift. Whoa. All right, it's going to be all the rage in 2010, I think. This is good stuff. All right. What else? All right. Some special memories. What are you thinking?
You forgot? Oh, okay. Ty, what did you guys do over Christmas? Did you have people in your house?
And we went to...
Where did you go?
We went to Carly and Dan's, played Rock Band.
You played Rock Band? Oh, cool. That's fun. That's very fun. Whoa. That's great. Thanks for sharing that, Ty. That's awesome. Okay, what else? Okay, Noel, I'm coming over.
We went to our grandma's farm, and we went shooting.
Nice. Excellent. This is not the Wii kind of shooting. This is like the 22 and a shotgun kind of shooting. Because where does your family live? I forget.
Grand Prairie.
Okay. Yeah. That was a highlight of Christmas for you? Very cool. All right. Just so you know, this is being recorded, and we're going to post this online. And so, you know, parents, if there's something that you maybe don't want to have shared in some way, then maybe just be aware of that. All right? Okay. No, I'm not joking. Okay, Andrew.
Going to Disneyland.
To Disneyland? Whoa, tell us a little bit about that. Did you know that was going to happen?
Like a week before, but I figured it out when my mom left the hotel booking on the computer.
Oh, awesome. Well done. Oh, that sounds like a great fun. Great, good memories. All right, Brody, you were going to share something. What were you going to share?
The same thing that Noel shared.
Oh, cool. Any other special memories that you had over Christmas?
Nope.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Anybody else? Some special memories from Christmas? All right, Jared.
Playing air hockey against my grandpa.
Oh, did you win when you played air hockey against your grandpa?
Yes.
Yeah. Most of the time, every time. It's true, actually. Awesome. Other special memories? All right. Oh, okay, Ben.
My dad went out and got me a base without my mom knowing.
No way. Oh, that's cool. That's fun. Now, wear a bass guitar, and you have an amp and everything to play it? Oh, wow. And, like, by your mom not knowing, was that because she wouldn't have allowed it, or because it's too loud, or what do you think?
I'm not sure.
Whoa, that's exciting. That's very, very exciting. Huh? Sue, do I need to ask you how you feel about it now, or is that... Okay, all right, it's good. It's hasn't caused any discord. All right. Any other kids that want to share some special memories from Christmas? All right. Oh, more from the Beyer household.
I got peanuts.
Yeah. And what else?
Yeah. Something that is different.
Oh, something that's fun? That's cool. That's very exciting. Oh, neat. All right, any adults want to share some special memories from Christmas? All right, Al.
So we're supposed to share what we got for Christmas. So this is what we got for Christmas. On the 24th, our son and daughter-in-law gave us a little grandson. And so Braylon is doing really well, and we're very excited. So I don't know how you can beat that, but there you go. That's our Christmas present.
That's very fun. Very fun and exciting. Congratulations to you guys both. Yeah. All right. Ian.
Just wanted everyone to know that my father-in-law bought me a MERS. It's a half purse, half man-urse. And The best part of it is whenever we come to church, I usually unload my cell phone and my wallet into my wife's purse. But today I said, honey, do you want to, oh, wait, I'll put it in my own.
too funny. All right, it's true confessions here this morning. Oh, whew. It's like an episode of Seinfeld. all right. Anybody else want to share what were some of your experiences or encounters or reflections over Christmas and over the... All right, Brode, I'm coming over to you again.
Just a couple days after Christmas when we were heading home, our flight was delayed really long. And I remember that.
Yeah. It's true. Yes, you're going to have a very long memory of that, I'm sure. Yeah. What about, was this the last Christmas on the farm for you guys, for your family? Maybe. Could be. So some memories maybe there, hey?
My mom's looking at me and nodding.
Yeah. Which means you're supposed to say yes. Yeah. Too fun. All right, Noel?
For Christmas, I got clothes and money.
Oh, excellent. Oh, that's fun. Very cool. Other thoughts or reflections on your experiences over Christmas together? All right, Ty.
Okay, for Christmas, I got... Okay, this is what I got.
What?
Lego set, Power Miner.
Do you know who I knew? Because I could see him on, you brought one of the guys with you. Is that from the set?
Yep.
Oh, cool. That's very exciting. All right, so everybody who wants to come and play Power Miners is coming over to your place then. All right. The Suderman household.
We had a great trip back to Regina to visit my family. And then, I feel myself get a little emotional. I'm a bad public speaker when it comes to this. Yesterday. Those of you at my wedding, you've seen this. Yesterday, we were driving back from Manning Park, and God just really had his hand on us. We ran around the corner, and
this happened at our wedding, too. Where he had to hand it off to me. we were driving home, and Mark was driving, and we came around the corner, and our car totally lost traction, and we started spinning, and we went into oncoming traffic, and we counted, well, I didn't because I had my eyes closed, but Mark counted 8 vehicles that were coming straight at us, and it was like a video game, and he just, every time we just about hit a car, we were going 90, they were going 90 head on, we would get a little bit of traction and be able to go around them. So he tells me because I couldn't see. And I had my eyes closed, but every single car we were able to navigate around. And we looked in our rearview mirror and there was cars to the left and cars to the right and we didn't hit a single one. And it was a very, very cool a brilliant message from God that we were just having a conversation about our next step and really unsure what it was. And it was a cool, really strong message saying, totally trust me. I'll navigate you. And he did. And we're fine. And so is everyone else. Everyone got out of the ditch.
Right on. That's neat. Yeah. Does anyone want to just offer a prayer of thanks to God for safety for the Sudermans?
If I can do this without crying. God, it has just been such an amazing story to hear this. And God has just relayed this to me yesterday. I just had this amazing thought of just a sense of peace, God, that you are totally in control of their lives. And as they have navigated so much with Jess's health this year and just all the many hurdles that they've had to go through, and you've just peacefully and calmly walked them through each step of the way. And this was just another miraculous miracle in their lives, God, and just a real testament and a real testimony to each of us that you are an ever strength and presence in our lives that is ultimately steering the wheel, God. And you know, I think of that song where it says, Jesus, take the wheel. And Lord, that is what we all ask and claim in each of our lives, Lord. And so as we are right in the beginning of 2010, Lord, I just ask your extra special blessing for the Sudermans, for Jess and Mark and Dane, and God, that this would be a magical year for them, that you would just continue to shower blessings upon them and continue to steer the way and show them that they don't have to try to take control, that it's all planned out for them, Lord. And we just thank you for this in your name. Amen.
Awesome. We're starting to get the sense a little bit of how we want to see the morning unfold, of just you sharing what it is that your experience is and what it is that God has been doing in your life. And the scriptures say in the New Testament, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so if you're artistic and you want to come and you want to either, you know, stick your hand up and be real brave and lead out in a song, then the technical team, Derek and Heather, will work hard to try and find the lyrics for that if we have them and try and put them up so other people can kind of join in on you with that. And so it's just it's a bit of like a family time, just some ebb and flow in our conversations and in our dialogue here together this morning. So what I'm going to do at this point is let the kids go for Sunday cinema. And so that is for kids age 3 up to grade 1. And so parents, if you haven't yet signed your children in over at the check-in table there with Peter, you can head around just behind the curtaining there and do that. And then Laura's over there, and Laura is looking after the kids this morning down there. And so you can head over, kids, there with Miss Laura. And then she'll head down to the recreation center, and there's programming. Also, the nursery is down in the recreation center, and so if you have children from birth up to age 2 and you would like to have them cared for this morning, you can take them down there at this point as well. And we're going to break for our coffee and connection time. And so that means head back and grab something to drink. There's some cookies in the back there and some donuts as well. Help yourself. There's complimentary coffee and hot water and hot chocolate over on this side. So grab something, bring it back to your seat, and take this 10 minutes to both begin to think about something that you might like to share, and so you can be ready for that when we come back together. And then also to introduce and get to know somebody around your table. So as the kids clear out, there might be some more seats that become available. And so we'll just encourage you to kind of make some new table groups when you come back together and watch for the countdown. And then we'll begin again with our sharing time. So let's head to coffee and connection time now.
Well, I invite you to make your way back to the table where you were sitting, or if you haven't found a seat yet,
please do so with some of the children who have moved on downstairs for Sunday cinema. We have a number of open seats at some of the tables. So if you find yourself at a table with three or four people, now's a great time to stand up and maybe meet a couple others and combine tables. And so we also have a couple of tables right up here front. These are always the tables that seem to go empty. But feel free to move in. And we're going to continue on doing what Pastor Brad mentioned this morning as an orientation. And what we're looking at is basically just communicating God's faithfulness. What are some things that we've experienced in our own individual lives and also in our corporate lives where we've seen the hand of God move? And I know as a church family, we've had our times of sorrow and difficulty. We've had our times of joy and exuberance. And one of the great things about being connected together as a church is being able to share in those together and encourage each other on in the faith. So with that being said, we're going to open it up again. And if you would feel comfortable coming up front, we can have you speak here or have a seat if you're going to tell a bit of a story. We also have the ability to have people draw things. If you brought art or if you would like to share a song or music or anything like that, just ask and we'll see if we can accommodate you and we can share in that together. So I'm going to look for hands and I can bring the mic to you or you can come up front, whichever you prefer. Eric, from where you're at, do you want to come up? Okay.
Hello. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how to put this, but for us, it's been a very busy and turbulent year. Around this time last year, Chris and I moved from Victoria to come to Langley to be closer to family with Stuart. And I guess just coming here to this church has been such a blessing. I mean, there's so many things that have been happening, having to start a new job and of course, find a new church and just getting settled into a whole new life here in Langley. And just wanted to say that this church has been very encouraging and a good, steady place to be for the last year. And it's very different from where we were in Victoria, and we like that. So,
anyone else? Names, sorry, that was Eric Bilinga. So Eric and Kristen, and then little Stuart they have, who's down in the nursery at this point. Kristen's down in the nursery too, is that right, Eric? Yeah. Thanks, Eric. Alex.
My name is Alex. Here, I'll stand here. And my husband Kevin and I have been coming to this church probably since September. We moved, bought in a place, and we just felt like we wanted to get connected in the community that we were living. And we have found the same thing, that this has been a real body of people that have been supportive. We got connected into a small group, and my mom was actually diagnosed with ovarian cancer in November. And we were just able to kind of feel like we had people that were supporting and praying for us, and which was amazing. One thing that, like, when you're talking about kind of things that have happened over the last year and how you want that to, I guess, momentum you into this coming year is we have just seen God's faithfulness in our family in a real tangible way with my mom's illness. And one thing that, like, she's been emailing regularly, and it's been amazing to see the ways that God has just been, banding people around her, and just the faithfulness that she's seen. Huge prayer request that we have for her is just, she's finished her third round of chemo, and originally they went in to do surgery and weren't able to operate because the tumor had expanded so much. And because of the incision, they said it probably won't heal because you're on chemo and basically your white blood cells, that's what helps you heal, and your chemo's killing all of those fast-growing cells. So she had quite a large incision, and the nurses actually, I think 2 weeks ago, they took a picture of it, and they were just like, this is a miracle, because you shouldn't have healed this well for a well person. And the fact that her incision has almost totally healed just shows us that God is moving despite what the doctors are saying. So I think for me, I'm starting this year being incredibly hopeful. We talked a little bit with a friend last night about how God doesn't necessarily bring you out of a situation, but he definitely brings you through. And it's been amazing to see how God has been using this experience to bring our family together, to bring people that don't know Jesus at all into our home, where my mom is like preaching the good news. She keeps saying, if this is an opportunity for me to be able to spread the gospel, then I definitely want to do that. So if you think of it, please pray for Sharon Kirstjuk, just that God would continue to just remove all the cancer and that he would bring glory out of this situation. So thank you.
Yeah, let's do that right now. Sharon, your mom, Alex, will put her up front. Kevin, do you want to join us too? And can we just pray for Kevin and Alex and for Alex's mother, Sharon? Is there someone that would be willing to come up front and pray for them at this point? Daniel, awesome. Thank you so much.
God, I just want to come before you now and thank you so much for the opportunity that we can have to have fellowship with each other and to come before you and to just have such a group of people that we can share with, God, without fear of judgment or ridicule or anything, and God, that we can come together as a body of believers and pray for Alex's mom. God, we know that that you are sovereign and that you can heal. God, we know that miracles of healing happen all over the world, and we pray that you would comfort their entire family in this time, and God, that you would bring miraculous healing to her ovarian cancer, God. We know that your will is sovereign, but we ask that your will would be that she would be healed, and God, that she would live a long and healthy life with her children and her grandchildren, and God, that this would be a witness to many people around, and that they would just see and know that there is no other way that this could have happened but by your hand. Just ask and pray all these things in your name.
Thanks, Daniel. Thanks, Alex and Kevin, for sharing that story, and we'll continue to partner with you in prayer for Sharon. Who's next? Margaret, where do you want to go?
Where do I want to go? Close to security, my security place. We have a daughter-in-law who's been fighting cancer for 8 years. She had breast cancer when she was pregnant with the youngest child. The youngest child will be 8 in February. So, yeah, we've lived with cancer for a long time. She just went for tests in December. Her numbers were up. And, you know, living with cancer, you're always going up and down. And you're always thinking, it's just part of your life. Her numbers were up. Her liver count was showing different things. So she was concerned it was spreading. And she had it in her mind that it's probably spread. But all the tests came back. New Year's Eve day, 31st, she had to go back for all her results. And everything is clear. It's still there. It is in the bones, but it has not metastasized. And her liver's okay, and we're just extremely grateful that she's going to start this new year with new hope and encouragement and just with Thanksgiving. And they've gone through, the youngest now is 7 going on 8. The oldest is 16. And we're just so thankful to be part of that family, and they've accepted us and just very much part of their family. And that's really awesome. But I'm so thankful that I'll never be a mother to those kids, because this year, too, they've gone through difficult times. She was in the hospital for a week, and it just proved to us that, hey, they're very capable of looking after themselves. And it was just awesome to see how those kids, 16, 14, whatever, rallied together and made sure the house was clean and made sure that there was a welcome home cake for mom and dad when they came home. And it was just really cool to see that. So we're just extremely thankful.
Thanks, Margaret. Maybe I'll just lead in prayer for your daughter as well. God, we just want to thank you for your faithfulness and for your mercy with Ralph and Margaret's daughter. And God, we would continue to pray that you would heal her, that you would sustain her and be her strength during her treatment. Lord, we thank you that this is a testimony for their family, God, as they've seen you take care of the children, and that Ralph and Margaret have been able to use their gifts and their resources to continue to minister to those people. And so, Lord, in the same prayer that we had for Sharon, we pray for great hope for this upcoming year and your continued faithfulness, and that people would be drawn to you, and that you would be seen as the God who heals and who sustains and delivers us. We pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen. Thanks, Margaret, for sharing. Anita.
I'm Anita. Me and my husband, John, have been going here for a couple of years. And we have son, Benjamin. He's 14 months. And we felt really blessed with Ben. And then we were really surprised / blessed to get pregnant again really quickly. And in September, October. And then just before Christmas, we found out that we lost the baby. And we're just really thankful for our church family.
This is why you have to be ready.
For our life group. And I think that, and also for others in this church that have already spoken up and said they're willing to talk with us about what it's like to go through that. And I think I would just ask for prayers for being hopeful in the new year. And I think with Ben, I learned I just love being a mom, and I want to be a mom to a lot of kids, hopefully. And we know that's a blessing. We know that's not a blessing everyone gets, and so we're thankful to have it once. And but we are hopeful for more. And just pray that the next time, hopefully, that God blesses us with a pregnancy, that I would enjoy it, because I know I'm going to be scared next time to get excited. And I think just prayer that God continues to work in our hearts to balance out the sadness with just how incredibly grateful we are for what we have. And with Ben in our faces every day, it's really hard to forget that. So I'm very thankful for kids, and particularly our kid. And just thank you for all your prayers already, and visits, and food. We really think small groups, because this is not something that you're, as I shake, that you're really all that up for telling to a whole group. But with our small groups, we've just been, you're so comfortable, and they're just there for you with M&Ms or a magazine or whatever, and they know you, and that's a real blessing. So thank you.
Thanks, Anita, for sharing. Can I have someone volunteer to pray for John and Anita, and for Benjamin as well, with the hope for future pregnancy and for health during that time? See if I have a volunteer here close by. Thank you, Mike.
Heavenly Father, we just give thanks to you for John and Anita, and just for the people that they are, and for their willingness to serve in this community, just for their willingness to serve in our home group and to be a part of that. And we just pray for them at this time as they are just going through and grieving the loss of the little one that they were so looking forward to having coming into this world. And we pray, Lord, that you would help Anita and John as they head into this new year, that you would just provide them with a sense of peace and hope that transcends their understanding, that you would begin to instill again, just in Anita, a sense of anticipation and joy for the things that you have in the future for their family. We thank you that they have been and that he's been able to be a real source of blessing and joy to them to go and to walk through this time. And we pray, Lord, that in the future that it would be your will, that they would be able to, again, have other children, and that that you would help to stem it and to move away any sense of fear that Anita might end up having when that time comes. And so we just pray that your blessing, that your comfort, and that your peace would rest on them in this coming year. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Other stories and testimonies from 2009 or things looking ahead for 2010? Anita Manderson.
So in mid-August, I left BC and I drove all the way to Saskatchewan and became a dorm parent in a small residential high school there where the kids live on campus. And so that has been one of the hardest things I have ever done, not only leaving my home church here that has lovingly supported me and given me lots of opportunities for growth, but also it's been one of the most challenging things I've ever done, because I look after 40 girls, and not only am I like disciplinarian and like caregiver and like I put them to bed, but I also get to hear their stories and get to see them at their worst and their spiritual worst, and also get to see the opportunity for growth and see where they're at and what that may look like in the future, and in some ways, like, hope for them. And so, really, it's been this huge challenge where my life has entirely changed to, in some ways, like selfishness is, like, very rare. Like, you don't really get to do that anymore. And you're like, I might hate the cold, but I don't care. Like, because I love these girls so, so much. But at the same time, coming home here, it's like all that selfishness has been like saved up, and like, and you get to like focus on yourself for a few moments, and you're like, I miss this more than anything in the entire world. And yeah, so it's been really hard and yet amazing, because I've seen God show up and I've seen him work in these girls' lives, and I've seen him just be with me when I feel utterly alone and have no concept as to what to say to these girls, or you know, just feeling utterly alone and crying in your car because there's nowhere to go. So yeah, I had this moment where I just like went into my car and like, I have nowhere to go, but I wish I could go home. Yeah, so, but him being there and really just being, Anita, this is the place where I need you now. But at the same time, just knowing that, like, this might not be a place forever, and really valuing that, and valuing the time that I have. But also knowing that, like, this place, this, like, this group of people is in some place my home, too. And it's really a balance of the two. So yeah, just pray for me as I go back, and in all honesty, I'm not super crazy excited, but I know that's where I'm supposed to be right now. And so, yeah, just pray for me in that, and, yeah, and just pray for the other dorm parent, the other female dorm parent that I work with, as we struggle with the girls and struggle with our position and how we best do what we do. Thanks.
God, I thank you for the role you brought Anita to, God, and I thank you that she knows that's where she should be, Lord, and I praise you for that, because when things get rocky and things get hard, Lord, that sometimes we just need to know firm in our head and not always feel it in our heart that that is where you want us to be, Lord. I pray that as Anita heads back, Lord, that she would see joy on those girls' faces, a warm reception to have her back. And God, too, I just pray that those girls have had a really good break, too, and are ready to come back and face the challenges of living in a dorm. And all the girl hormones that they must experience. And God, I pray for the other girl that Anita works with, the other dorm parent, Father, that there would be a great sense of unity with the two of them, and that there would be a camaraderie and a deep friendship, too, for those lonely times when you feel like you're going crazy and there's nowhere to go, Lord, that Anita would have a greater sense of family there, Lord, and a greater sense of community. I pray that you sustain her and energize her and give her just a new breath of your spirit, Lord, to know that you're going with her and before her, and you've equipped her for what it is that you've called her to do, and remind her how much she's loved here and how much we too just want to still be a part of her life and support her in any way we can from afar. And God, we know that you will provide everything she needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Meg. One of the nice things about doing this together is getting to meet new people, see new faces and names. So that was Anita Manderson who is speaking. Anita, for those of us who haven't been connected with Jericho Ridge for too long, she served as our student ministries intern this past summer. And as she was saying, they went to Saskatchewan to work at a school there, mentoring and discipling young women. And before that, we had John and Anita McCarthy sharing, we had Alex and Kevin Duick sharing before that, a couple that's just recently come to Jericho. So encourage you, if you want to write down names and some of these prayer requests that people have offered up, be a great way to connect names with faces and also some of the things that people have been experiencing this past year and some of the things that they're anticipating for the year to come. Who would like to share next? Arnie, and then we'll come back here.
Arnie Friesen's my name. Some of you know that I'll be transitioning out of higher education. That's been my career for about 25 years. Very rich experience. I've traveled all over the world, really. This last week was kind of the grand finale, the crescendo to my higher educational career. I had the opportunity for the first time to attend Urbana, and that's a student mission conference held this year in St. Louis. I spent the week with about 16,000 students. Just an amazing experience in a big football stadium and convention center. Just amazing to see this many people come together and worship God, and a lot of them are there to find out how God will use them in a mission environment or career. Probably the highlight, other than the worship services, would be I think it was Thursday night, when they had an altar call, and hundreds of students made a first-time decision, and of course many rededicated their lives. And they turned the lights low, and they gave everybody a glow stick, the people that had made a decision. So you just see the whole auditorium just lighting up. And, of course, there's follow-up after that, but just a great experience. So that kind of summarized my life in higher education. Now I'm moving over to another position. I actually started that January 1st. So I've got 3 paid vacation days before I start tomorrow, really. So that's with the Mennonite Foundation of Canada. So really quite a bit different than higher ed. There will be an educational element to it. But God is great, and just want to reflect on the fact that God has been so faithful to us over all these years.
Thanks, Arnie. I'm sorry, I haven't met you, so I don't know your name yet. Mrs. Beckert, Daryl's mother, I'm presuming.
It's been really interesting listening as a visitor. And some years are like that. They're just full of trials. And I'm sitting here this just thinking over 2009, and it's just been a year of celebration. I can't think of anything that God has brought us through, you know, any trials. But some years have been one trial after the other. This year has just been a year of wonderful holidays and the privilege of seeing our son, who is a survivor of childhood cancer, the privilege of seeing him get married, celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary here with our children. It's just been a year of celebration, and so I praise God for that.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Danny Tourville.
Good morning. My name is Daniel Torville. I am originally from Moose Factory, Ontario, and my wife, Rachel Torville, is originally from Chilliwack. I see a couple smiles there. I did say Moose Factory, and it's in the middle of nowhere. So, we currently live in Alder Grove. We got married just this past May, and it's been really good to find a home church. I've been out here for a few years now, and just hopping from church to church, and finally come to this one. It just feels so, I don't know, it just... You're greeted when you come in, and then people come and introduce themselves to you, and it's just been really nice, especially being newly married and being so far away from home. It's really nice to have people like you, and even looking in this book, I noticed that Rachel and I are on the prayer calendar. I'm like, oh man, our names are in here. That's pretty cool. I thought you had to be like a 5-year veteran of this church to get in there, but so I said, oh, you know, if our names are in there, I better share a prayer request. So we're really excited for this year. Like I said, we're newly married, and there's tons of opportunity out there for us, and we just really are praying for God's guidance as to what we should be doing. Rachel is just finishing up her teacher's college. She's going to be a teacher in the end of August, so we're playing with the idea of moving back to Moose Factory to do some schoolwork / mission, stuff like that. If you can really pray for my community back home, there's been many... suicides this past year in this little community. There's a lot of troubled teenagers, and it really hurts me because, like, I know parents and stuff, and just hearing their stories, just like, wow, like, I couldn't imagine that at all. So if we can just remember to pray for me when our day comes up. Just pray for Rachel and I as we make decisions to see where God wants us to be, because we're very plan-oriented. We like to know, you know, every day planned out for us, but it just doesn't seem like it's like that right now. And just a quick praise item for this past year. My sister, she's about 35. She's been wanting to have a child for the longest time. And it just seemed like we just couldn't understand why she wasn't having children. And she seemed like a good mother. She had a nice husband and everything. And she still has a nice husband. Just this past year, she finally was able to get pregnant. And we went back home just this past Christmas. And we were able to meet a healthy baby girl. So... We've been praying for her a long time, and she's not a Christian, but she does really, she liked it when we prayed for her and things like that, and finally she just got her child, and she was just beaming, and it's just, God's faithfulness is so there, and I encourage you guys with that today, so thank you very much.
Thanks, Danny. Danny brought up a good point. You have on your tables... what we've called our momentum journal, and as he mentioned, there is a prayer section there. We've got a prayer calendar for both January and February. Danny, what day are we praying for you on? Tomorrow! Well, hot dog. January 4th. So this is a great opportunity. If you have purchased one of these momentum journals, or if you have one on your table and you want to take it home with you, you can circle their names and jot down some of the things that Danny and Rachel were speaking on. The praise about his sister and that their new niece that they have, and then some of their future plans and work opportunities coming up in the summer and beyond, as well as the community in Chilliwack that Danny's been connected with, and some of the youth there who have gone through difficult circumstances. And so I'm going to ask Pastor Brad actually to come up and give us a little bit more of instruction regarding this Momentum Journal, which is one of our strategies for discipleship coming up in 2010. And so, Pastor Brad, if you want to go ahead and outline that, right, and then we'll continue on in the morning.
Sophie already took the opportunity to draw on mine, so in case you didn't know, the front inside cover is for art, apparently. So one of the things that we've been toying around with is some of you have been in the habit of life journaling, which has been a tool that we've had for a few years here now to try and encourage connectivity and getting into God's Word on a regular basis. One of the things that we were noticing about life journaling is that it kind of ran as a bit of a parallel track. So those who did life journaling kind of did their life journaling, and you know, we have a few life journaling groups and things, but there was also a lot of reading that was involved, and so as we got solicited some feedback from people, people would say things like, I mean, I'm not in the regular habit of reading God's Word, and now you want me to read like 4 chapters every day? When am I going to fit that in? What's that going to look like? And then how does that relate to what's going on in the rest of my life? When I get together with my small group on a weeknight, we're doing something totally different. So I'm reading again for that. And then on Sunday mornings, we're doing something a little bit different again. And so it's kind of like we have all these little parallel worlds. What would it look like if we tried to bring all of those things together? And so that's what we're trying to do in 2010 with our Momentum Journal. And so the Momentum Journal is just a tool that we're trying to provide for you to be able to connect some of those things in your life together about what God is speaking to you about. Now, some of you might say, well, I'm not really a writer. Like, I don't really, you know, enjoy writing things down or processing things in terms of, you know, that's just not how I'm wired. And that's totally fine. What we're doing is just trying to provide a tool that you can have in your hands if you want to try and experiment with some of those things. And so the tool has a number of different sections in it. Pastor Keith already mentioned the prayer section, which starts on page 18 and goes through and has a prayer calendar for January and February, which is the duration of this journal. So this is an 8-week journal, which will take us through our sermon series, teaching series, which begins next weekend, called Good to Great, the 8 Habits of Spiritually Healthy People. So there's sort of a connectivity there. And then just even as we've been talking this morning, in my journal there, I've been writing down on page 20 just a personal prayer guide. What have people been asking for prayer about? And then if there's something that's been answered or something that God has done in their lives, just writing that down as well. And it's just, even if you're not a journaler and don't use it for your life journaling component of things, it's just a good way. How many times do you say to somebody, I'm going to pray for you, and then you think, what was I going to pray for them about again? And so it's just something to keep with you. Bring it on Sunday mornings, bring it to your small group, and when somebody in your life group says, hey, can you pray for me about this? Perfect. Flip it open, write it down, you've got it with you so you know and can remember to be in prayer for them. So that's one part of the tool. The second section is the reading plan, and what we've tried to do with the reading plan is tried to say, well, what are we talking about in the context of our Sunday morning gatherings together? Because that functions as a bit of a catalyst for our dialogue throughout the course of the week. And so the topic that we pick on a particular Sunday morning, then there are scriptures that you can follow that topic through in the course of the week. And so the week coming up on the 17th is on prayer. And so the prayer journal coming into that section will be reading on prayer together. And so you can get a little bit of a preview and a little bit of opportunities to, say, read on January 10th, next Sunday, Psalm chapter 4, and just do a little bit of writing and reflecting on that. And there's some instructions as to how that goes about. So this kind of ties it in what we do on Sunday mornings much more closely with what we want you to try and do in the course of your week. And so it's dated for you. You just flip open to the date for whatever today's date is. Today's the 3rd. It's Psalm chapter 42. And so then you just flip to the reading plan, and the pages there are for you. You can just write down Psalm 42 at the top. You write down the today's date, the title, and then there's instructions about how to actually go about journaling. And we use the acronym SOAP, the scripture that God speaks to you about. S, O, what are your observations about it? A, what is the application that you feel God speaking to you about as an individual? And then P is just a prayer that rounds that section out. So for those of you that would like a more structured, if one of your goals in the new year is to spend a little bit more time in the Bible, this is just a structured and very simple way to help you do that. And then the other component part is the sermon series that we're doing. There's a lot of additional resources that we're providing for you. So on next Sunday, on page 38 as an example, next Sunday's topic is prayer, as I mentioned. And so then this is a section for you to take some notes. There's some additional resources. And then on the back of that, on page 39, those are the questions for your life group if your life group follows the teaching series. And so you've already got all in one place your notes on the message that you can bring and remember to talk about and dialogue questions that you had. I didn't quite understand this or that aspect of things. And then some suggested exercises for you to do throughout the course of the week. So it's a bit of an all-in-one tool that we want to just encourage you to get in the habit of. Just grab it and bring it along, whether it's the Sunday morning, whether it's to your own personal times with God that you have throughout the course of the week, or whether it's to your life group. It's a bit of a resource for you that we want to just allow you to experiment with throughout the course of 2010. So we'll be producing a new Momentum Journal for every series that we do, so all the resources are series and topic specific, and then there's other instructions in there in terms of how to use it. There's a church-wide calendar that's in the back of it, just so you have a little bit of a heads-up on what things are going on. And yeah, if you have any feedback on it, we'd love to hear how you're kind of experimenting with it, or what your suggestions are for future development for Momentum Journals. So does that make sense? Any questions that you guys have? All right, we did a couple. Our printer's been acting up over the course, and so we weren't able to get it serviced over the course of with the different stat holidays that were in there. So we have two options for you. One is the regular journal, which is just line-free and ready to go for you. So that's $3 for a copy of that, just to cover the costs of printing and all that kind of fun stuff. Or, if you're not really particular about it, there's some that our copier did a wonderful job of producing nice lines on different pages. Those will let them go for $1 for you. So if you're you're interested in that, then you can take this home with you today and get started with it, and we'll produce some more for next week once our copier regains health and functionality that you can use. So if you're interested in taking these home, I think we've got about 50 or 60 of them that we've produced for today. And so if that's something you want to get a jump on, then please find a table that has some on it that's not utilized, or you can just fight amongst yourselves at your table for how that's going to look. And if you're going to pay later, just look after it at whatever point that you remember to bring a toonie or a loonie or whatever that looks like. So I don't know. Anything else to add in about the Momentum Journal? Okay.
Lose power here? There we go. I just thought that we should call the ones with vertical lines the limited edition ones, because...
Fair enough.
Seriously, how many of those can you reproduce?
That's true.
So, I mean, I don't know about the cutting back on the price, but hey, I'm taking a couple of those for $1 each. That's a good deal.
Right. Well, mine's a limited edition.
That's true.
Sophie,
yeah,
art
that's,
production.
You
so
can't reproduce
I can pay
that
extra
at
for
all.
That.
Well, we have a few more minutes this morning, so... we still have some time. If God's been speaking to you and urging you to share a story of his faithfulness over this past year, anything else you'd like to share about the upcoming year, please put your hand up in the air and love to hear what you have in mind. Sue, and then Kimberly right next to her.
'09 was a challenging year for me. I lost my mom in the summer, and I found out that I had a tumor that I needed to have removed, and I waited for surgery, and it kept getting bumped and bumped, and it was hard for me because I just didn't know why, and it did stretch me a bit. And then one day I just woke up, and it was just clear to me that God's timing is perfect. And after that, I just let it all go and waited. And in December, I had my surgery, and everything's good. So,
this year, it's kind of been a journey of health, not for me, but for a lot of people that I'm very close to. including my own kids. And as I've been reflecting on this year and just reflecting on the journey that all of us have kind of been going along this together, like with Jess and our friends CS and with Adeline. Adeline had been dealing with some seizures, and so we started going through some process to kind of heal her gut, really. And it was a very expensive process, one that some people didn't necessarily agree with. Your family is always so fun when it comes to stuff like that, hey? Not always understanding why you make these kinds of decisions. But I just knew in my heart that I needed to put some things in place. And it's just been so fun over the past few months to see my little girl go through grade one. And while everybody's getting real sick, and even her brothers are getting sick and colds, and she's just fine. She's been amazing. And then just to see some of our other friends just starting to get better, and just seeing little milestones and just indications that God is really present and that he's really walking us through all of this. And so as I look forward to 2010, I just really feel like this year is going to be different. You know, that this is going to be the year of health. I've seen my dad go through lots. This past year, he finally got out of the hospital. He'd been in for 3.5 years, lost both his legs, and just a whole series of things that have happened with his health. And over the past 2 months now, I think he's not used his wheelchair once. So, you know, it's just so fun to see when you just continue to have faith and continue to trust God that these journeys that we all go through, and we have all been through health struggles, we've all been through so many different challenges, but it's just so neat when you can kind of look back and reflect and see where God has brought us. And so I'm just really looking forward to a powerful year.
Thank you to both Sue and to Kimberly for speaking about God's faithfulness in health and his timing. And one of the things I'd like to do now is I'd like to call the ushers forward. The ushers, if you can get the offering bags, and we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And just as Kimberly was talking about God's faithfulness, just reminded me about the faithfulness that he's demonstrated to our church. And I think a number of us have heard those stories, especially at our vision night this past November, as we've just seen God continue to open up doors for our church in the areas of facilities. As we're here, I mean, it wasn't really that long ago that we were at Mountain Secondary. Our first Sunday here at the Event Center was May 30th, and we've only been here for, I guess it'd be six, seven months now. And now we have some great opportunities to be here further on in the future, and we've certainly benefited through that. And we've seen, too, with how God has provided for the budget that that our leadership team stepped out in faith and said, this is what we think God's moving us towards. And I don't have final numbers in front of me, but it looked like we are on a very encouraging trend going into December of saying we're not just going to meet our budget for 2009, but we're going to exceed that, and we'll have a surplus here because of people in our church family understanding that as God is generous to us, we are generous to him and to the church and to meeting those people in ministry through the giving of our resources. And so we're going to demonstrate our faithfulness now at this point. And the ushers, you can go ahead and pass the bags around the table, and we're going to receive our offering. And as they do that, I think we probably, I don't have a watch in front of me, but Brad, we have time for two more stories. Okay. Mr. Thiessen, Al, is going to share.
So I shared my Christmas present already, but this is another story in sort of the vein we've been talking about. A couple of weeks ago, there was a middle-aged man in the Abbotsford Hospital dying of cancer. And he was passing away, and his family was grieving. And in the bed beside him was an 82-year-old man passing away as well. And the 82-year-old man turned to Mr. Queering and said, "We're both dying. How come you're so calm?" And so Mr. Queering told him. And the man said, "That's what I want." And he led him to the Lord, and they both died.
Thanks for that story, Al. That's awesome. D- Danny. Danny Ferguson's going to come up front, it looks like.
Hello. My name is Danny. Not to be confused with the former Danny that was up here. We're actually two different people. I'm Danny Ferguson. I work for an organization called Youth for Christ. I know some of you. A lot of you I don't know. I'm spending all my time making friends with teenagers in this community and trying to show them who Jesus is. So I spend a lot of my time trying to figure out how Jesus fits into the life of kids who have terrible things going on and why they would ever want to get to know Jesus. Because from what they experience of Christianity, it doesn't seem like it has any kind of purpose or meaning in their life, and it doesn't seem like it can make any kind of a difference. And about a year ago, we started to see a trend of kids who really started to grasp onto who Jesus was, and it was amazing us. Kids would come up to us and they'd say, "We want to meet this Jesus guy you talk about." And we're like, "No, you don't. What's wrong with you? It doesn't fit into your life." And God amazed us over and over and over with kids that were just flocking forward to meet God. But over this past year, we've seen a lot of attack and a lot of enemy influence into the lives of these kids, whereas a year ago they were proclaiming the name of Jesus to now saying that they don't believe in him at all. So it's a hard process to go through. And you know, you see people come up for these first-time commitments and it seems exciting, but as you walk with them on a day-by-day basis, then you see the actual struggles they go through. And I don't know, even just for me, just to be walking alongside, it's like, Jesus, why doesn't this work? Why aren't you helping them? Why can't they see you? It's a lot like the people of Israel when they came through the deliverance out of Egypt, and then they're led into the desert, and all these people wanted to go back into Egypt and back into slavery. And it's exactly what I'm seeing right now. So I don't know, not a lot of you know me super well, but if you do know me, I don't actually like meetings very much, and I don't like sitting in church very much. I get very antsy, and I draw a lot of pictures, and I count all the light fixtures, and I woke up from this dream. I was having this amazing dream where I was having coffee with this like spiritual guru who was explaining everything to me, who was like just filling me up with the answers that I was looking for. And in my dream, he was just going, "All right, Danny, the most important thing for you to remember is," and then April woke me up and said, "It's time to go to church." I'm like, "No!" I was so upset. So I came here, and I knew my attitude wasn't the greatest, and I really try not to let this influence other people, but if you come and talk to me and ask me how I am, I usually try to give a straight answer, because I don't want to be just another plastic Christian face that always has happiness written on the outside of it and has crumminess all swept under the carpet for the Sunday morning. So I decided to leave after the worship set, and I went in and watched the kids play hockey. And as I was watching them, they all quit. And the words that were going through my head were, "Meaningless, meaningless, everything is utterly meaningless." I'm like, that's really uplifting. I shouldn't read the Psalms and like try to get myself out of this. So I opened up my Bible to Psalm 39, and which I felt really directed to read. I didn't know why. And got to verse 4, and it says, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." I'm like, that doesn't help. So I'm feeling that life is meaningless, and then God directs me to a passage that says, "You're right, it is meaningless." I'm like, oh, dang it, this is not going well for me this morning. And then the Zamboni came out on the ice, and God said, "Watch this Zamboni." I'm like, okay, I can do that. Zamboni's going around and around and around. And God says to me, Danny, you're the ice. And you're beat up and you're scratched and you're hurt. And I am the Zamboni driver. And unless I drive all over you, you will be scratched and beat up forever. But your meaninglessness, the stuff that hurts, is the purpose. Like, you've brought joy to the people that have been skating on the ice. So now I need to scrape off some of the stuff that's accumulated and smooth it all over again before we can get restarted. And as I was watching the Zamboni driver, he missed just a little spot. And I don't know, I've watched Zambonis go around before, and some guys just leave that little strip, right? And I'm like, I wonder what he'll do. So I watched, and he made another whole pass just so he could get like a little 6-inch section that was only like 2 inches wide. I'm like, and God just really pointed in on me and said, I care about every single detail of your life. Now, I wish I could say everything has gotten better since then, but literally God has just been driving all over me. And I don't know, I wanted to share that story with you because I want to be able to dream of this community of people that I so often see all the flaws in because of the work I do. Is I try to bring Jesus out of the church and into people's real lives. And then it's hard for me to go back into the church setting and the system and the way we do it because I feel like I'm trying to be shoved back into a box. And I know that's not what the intention is at all. And a lot of it has to do with my growth and what God has really been trying to do and teach me and how he even uses me outside in the community that I am able to go out and try to show kids these things that I have no idea of and just have to completely rely on God. But I want to say is, sometimes we just need to escape the confines of saying, this is how God works, and just remember that God drives a Zamboni.
Thanks, Danny. Thanks to everyone who shared this morning, and I'd just like to affirm that this isn't the end of the opportunities that we would have together as a church to let people look into our lives and see the experiences that we've had. But we have a number of opportunities to do this consistently. And so I would invite you to think about this and to discover what are ways that I can impact people's lives and allow people to experience some of the things that God is bringing me through. And so just as we've heard people share, a number of people have said, well, I've had incredible experiences with my life group setting. And so if you aren't currently connected in a life group, I would highly recommend that, and I would invite you to speak with others who are in life groups or speak with myself, and I can help you get connected with a group. This is a great time for that to happen at the beginning of January, where a number of groups are going to be opening up their doors and saying, hey, let's have other people connect and get to know them as well. I've also heard a number of people talk about the ways that they've been encouraged through people praying for them, and as Pastor Brad was mentioning, that's one of our strategies in the Momentum Journal is having some consistency in our prayer life. And I'd like to also invite you that every time we meet on Sunday mornings, we have a group of people who pray together at 10 minutes to 10 at 9:50 every week. And so I invite you to come a few minutes early, spend some time praying with each other about anything that's going on in your lives and spiritual growth that can happen here at the church. And so that's an opportunity for you to think about as well. We also have a prayer team that receives emails throughout the week so that someone who's connected here at the church or friends or family members or other people in the church who are requesting prayer, that goes out to that group. And that's open to anyone who would like to receive those prayers, who would like to intercede on behalf. And so you can speak with me as well if that's something that would interest you. And so with that being said, we just want to thank you for coming here this morning and opening up your hearts and sharing with us what God's doing. And we do look with great anticipation forward to 2010 and what God will continue to do as he demonstrates his faithfulness to us. So I'll close with a word of prayer and then we can go about our days from here. Father God, we just want to proclaim here this morning that you are a God of incredible faithfulness and unbelievable love. And Lord, we know in the story that you write throughout your scriptures and the stories of our life that you continue to pursue us and forgive us and love us and take care of us, Lord. And we just want to thank you so much for the experiences that we've had this past year that have shown that. And many of them have been difficult, God. Many of them we don't understand. For a number of us, we still won't understand this a year from now. But Lord, we just want to say that we trust you, that we want you to be the leader in our lives, and we will submit to you because we know that's what's best for us and because we know that you are sovereign and faithful to us. And so, God, we ask for those people who are sick and who need healing. Lord, we ask that you would heal them, that you would provide for them. We ask for those people who are looking for strength and direction this upcoming year and who are relying on you to provide answers. Lord, we ask that they would hear from you, that you would speak to them, and that they would follow you in obedience. And so, Lord, as we look ahead to this year that we have with great anticipation and hope, we ask that you would continue to communicate to us, Lord, and that you would make us humble servants so that we would listen and obey you in obedience. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We ask that you would go with us and give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are saying to us. Amen.